Good morning. So we were in the prayer room downstairs, and Caden put on Oldies But Goodies, Will Reagan and United Pursuit of Banks House. And it just reminded me of how good the presence of God is and how much we can take God's presence, God's abiding presence, for granted. And so this morning, as we worship and we give him the honor and the praise that he is due, let's remember that we're not just in a room in Sela on McGonigal Road just making noise, but that in the spirit we are, as it says, coming to Mount Zion, where there is a great assembly of angels already worshiping God. Now, we may not see them, but in the spirit, we participate in the same way. And as they are in the presence of God, so are we. And the word says that in his presence is fullness of joy. And, you know, sometimes we come into a weekend service and our week's been rough, and ours has been a little bit rough. We actually got into an accident on Friday night. Praise God, we're both here. Could have been much worse. Wasn't our fault. But you never know what, you know, what a day's gonna bring. You know, one moment you're driving down the road, next minute you're calling 911, and that can sometimes do things to your heart. And so I want us to just let God, let his presence of God heal our hearts, bring us joy, fill us full of everything that is him, which is already there, but we just need to make sure that today we allow all of God to come forth. And then in his presence will be fullness of joy. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God, that you are working, Lord, for our good right now. And Lord, we choose to praise you. We choose to acknowledge your presence. And we ask, Lord, that you would do what you do so well, and that is when we're in your presence, you bring healing to our hearts. You fill us full of joy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Make us strong inside. step, you took these rides and you made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our lives, we'll be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you, and oh how we
our
Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. You are the one in our hearts
I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Oh, I am yours, I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours, I am yours, I am yours. For all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I'm yours, I'm yours forever. 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 Oh, so love came down. And love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I'm yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high and valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, oh, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Oh, Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy. There is put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out. You're in this place already. Break all walls down. Sing, Spirit. Spirit, break out. Break all walls down. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out. Oh, heaven, heaven, come down. Sing, Our Father. And Our Father, all of heaven rose your name. Sing. Praise, can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Oh, the sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name. Sing louder, let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Oh, the sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Oh, break all walls down. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Break out, heaven come in this place, heaven come down. Sing, King Jesus, King Jesus, your name we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. Yes, we do, God. We want to see. it's got revival. We want to see your kingdom here. Oh, we want to see your kingdom here. Spirit break all walls down, oh Spirit. Spirit, break out. Heaven, invade this place. Heaven, come down. Spirit, oh Spirit. Spirit, break out. white as snow. It makes us white as snow.
Love came down. Love came down and rescued us. love came down and set us free. The power of the blood set us free. And he overcame death, hell, and the grave. Because of that, that is our future hope. Death, hell, and the grave has no hold on us. The sting of death has no power over us any longer because of what love did when he came down. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that it cleanses us and it washes us and it purifies us and it makes us righteous before you. Lord, we say thank you this morning for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done for us, past, present, and future. We thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just receive right now for the rest of the service everything that you desire, everything that you want to accomplish in hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love being in our lives. And Lord, we do. We choose to build our lives on your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll greet somebody. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Good morning. Good morning, church. We are going to get ready to do our declaration here in a moment. But first, I would just like to say that was amazing worship, for one. And for two, let's try our best to not just move on from a moment like that, but kind of let it like stir in your heart a little bit, kind of ponder on it as we continue throughout the message, because preaching is also a form of worship. And so even though the music has stopped, let's still stay in that heart posture of what we just experienced. All right, go ahead and go to that first slide. We will say this together on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things.
And I declare that your will be done in Yakima Valley, as it is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing place that you've given us to live in. I thank you for the amazing churches that we have all around the valley, including our own. And I just pray that you would help us to continue experiencing moments like these where we can just wholeheartedly enter your presence and just praise you to the fullest of our ability. So I just thank you so much for the amazing plans you have for each and every person in this room. And I pray that you would help us to carry those out throughout this day and throughout the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One announcement, sorry. Just thank you for giving. So all of you who give to this church, whether it is just blessings and prayers or it is money, we appreciate all of you who give. So continue doing that. Pastor?
Oops. Good morning. Well, let's see how far I can go, Jesse, before it squeals. Is it okay? Okay. We've been having microphone issues. Pastor placement issues. It's all me. It's all me. I'll take it. Pastor placement issues. Okay.
Sounds like I'm supposed to be put in a nursing home or something like that. Pastor placement issues. Praise the Lord. What's that? There you go. Thank you, Jesus. So we have been, we can go ahead and switch that off. Hang on a second here. We have been moving this week. Actually, it's been about 2.5 weeks that I've been going through the process of finding things, throwing things away, and moving boxes from one side of the house, then realizing they're not good there and moving them back to the next side. But yesterday, we actually did the physical move. And thank you for everybody that helped. It was such a blessing. And it's many hands make light work, which is awesome. But I was driving home yesterday from picking up some more supplies, actually just some food. We forgot to take food. Picking up some food for the evening and a few other things. We thought we had everything to get ready this morning, but Gay said that she felt like she was using duct tape or baling wire and twine to put herself together because it was like, where is everything? But I was driving back, and I was just thinking about, okay, this part was done of all this crazy labor. You know, the big stuff was moved. Still lots of things, little things to do. Got a lot of cleanup to do over at the other place, a lot of cleanup. But I was just all of a sudden thinking, it's like, oh, I get to rest a little bit tonight. And then I started thinking again about this idea of rest. And, you know, I've been preaching on this series of the parable of Jesus, and I thought, well, we'll do one of these today. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share on this idea of rest, because the kind of rest that God's talking about isn't rest from our labors that are physical. I mean, we had to move, you know, we had to lift these things. I mean, God wasn't necessarily going to come over himself and move it. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Hey, call the heavenly moving company. Okay, it's time to move me again. You just have all of it end up there. Oh, praise God. All in the right places, and probably need some kind of diagram of where everything went. But that'd be so cool, wouldn't it? If God just moved everything. It doesn't happen that way. But there is a rest for us as the people of God. And this rest is the rest that brings a satisfaction to our soul, I believe, where we're not always feeling like we're lacking something in our life. I know that there's times that, you know, you're lacking physical amenities, you're lacking maybe, you know, some new clothes or something like that. You have those needs. But I think this is talking more like the emotional depths of who we are. And, you know, we live in a chaotic world. We live in a world where people all the time, you can tell by the way they communicate, that there's a lack in them. There's a lack for peace. There's a lack for the rest of God. So I wanted to talk about that today. So if you would turn with me into Hebrews chapter 4, it's kind of one of those that a lot of people don't read in their Bible. It's like they're usually reading John or Matthew, Mark or Luke or maybe Acts. And then they'll maybe get into Corinthians. Very rarely do people, if they do start reading Hebrews, usually they'll start going, this is too big, I got to skip over. We were reading through our New Testament with not the full 1 year, but through, I took a group of people through the New Testament. And when we got to Hebrews, because they were saying, oh, this is fantastic, it's amazing. But when we got to Hebrews, it's like, oh, this is hard. Yeah, it can be hard. It says here in verse 1, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Wow, now he's talking to the church, and we believe this is probably Paul, and this is the New Living Translation, and he's communicating this idea that God's got a promise for us to enter into his rest. But we need to have a godly reverence that we are able to enter into that rest. And I believe the ultimate rest that we will receive is being with Jesus, because he is our rest, and we'll see that later on. But he said, you know, this godly fear should cause our hearts to tremble. For others, possibly for ourselves, that we may not experience that rest. And I believe there's a lot of Christians, because I don't think this rest is just for the by and by. I think this rest is for us as Christians now, today, because of what we have received when love came down and rescued us, when Jesus' precious blood bought us, and when Jesus' precious blood washed our sins away, as we were singing, and when he overcame. It says, for the good news, is verse 2, that God has prepared this rest. For this good news, that God has prepared this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good, because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Now, who is they? All of a sudden, this they come up. Well, you have to go back to chapter 3 to really see who the they is. And they are the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness. And for 40 years, they ended up wandering around in the wilderness because they didn't believe they could go into the promised land. The promised land was there for the taking. You know, God said, hey, you guys have gone through about 2 years, and now it's time for you to go into the promised land. And they basically said, no, we're not going to go. 10 of them said, we're not going to go. 2 of them said that they could go. But the whole congregation believed the 10. They believed the bad report instead of the good report. And so because of that, they didn't share in the faith of those who listened to God. Who were the ones listening to God? Well, at that particular time, it was Joshua and Caleb. But the whole group, they're ready to stone and kill Caleb and Joshua, if you remember right. They were, let's get these guys out of here. They're going to have all of us killed. So we know that after that, God said, you're not entering in the promised land. And it was a place of rest for them. So it was 40 years after that that their children got to enter into this promised land. And as we'll see here, that still was not the full rest of God. It did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Verse 3, for only we who believe can enter his rest. Well, there we go. There's the answer. That's why they did not enter into the rest of God when they went into the promised land. Most people say, oh yeah, they rested from whatever they were doing in the wilderness. They must have entered into God's rest. No, God's rest is for those who believe. God's rest is for us. Why? Because it took Christ to allow this rest to fully come. And we'll see that. As for others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. Now, this is interesting. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. This was the Israelites. And this is definitely one of those scriptures in the New Testament that communicates this idea that what they had in the Old Testament wasn't the fulfillment. And only after Jesus came, died, buried, resurrected, then the new could come and they could enter rest. Now, we think that David was ready to enter his rest. He loved God, but he was before the cross. He saw the cross. Abraham saw the cross. Abraham saw Jesus' day and rejoiced, it said. But we're talking about a rest that was made for you and I. We're talking about a rest that God has prepared for those who believe. Do you guys believe? If you believe, there's a rest waiting for you. Even though the rest has been ready since he made the world, that's right at the very end, even though it was there for them, it just wasn't the timing for them. You know, sometimes we begrudge the fact of the days we live in. Oh, I wish I could live in this time. I wish I could live in that time. You guys ever think about that? You read about, you know, something in history. Oh, to be alive when Jesus was walking the streets. Or some people, to be alive when the Red Sea was parted. To be with that group that saw this Red Sea part through the night and then go through on dry ground. I'm telling you, we have it better. We have it so much better. Verse 4. We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. Are you guys familiar with that? There was 6 days of creation. Now, whether they were six actual days or they were six God days, that's up for interpretation. We'll just say there's 6 days for this particular illustration. And it said that on the first day, God, you know, basically created the skies and the heavens and the earth and you know, the whole thing that we would consider probably the universe. It's hard to say for sure. It's somewhat subjective. But on day two, there was you know, I think day two was, if I remember right, it's like grass. And but the real sun and moon hadn't come yet. So that's why most people say it must have been real days, because how can you have grass without a sun or a moon? But what ended up happening is after these 6 days of God's creation, finally day six, we were created, God decided to rest. God said, I'm going to rest. And it said in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his creation. Oh, Eric probably wasn't catching up. I'm not doing it. Eric is being very gracious back there, and he's giving you guys scriptures. So I probably went too fast for him, so it's okay. I have a little divergence I'll do here every now and then. So we know it is ready because of this place in the scriptures where it mentions, this is verse 4 again, the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. So what is this saying? God is illustrating something to us, that God gives rest and God rests himself. He rested from all of his work. Now, Is there another 6 days that we're in? Are we still in the seventh day? That's all very theological arguments that people have. I will say this. I believe that when Jesus came, a rest came to mankind that wasn't there before. And we will see that. So it says in verse 8, Now Joshua was the one who took them into the promised land. If Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So keep in mind, Joshua did take them into the promised land. After the 40 years, the Israelites who had rejected God and didn't go into the promised land, they all passed away. Their children went into the promised land with Joshua and with Caleb, who were the two basically that were left from that group that rejected God at that moment. And it says, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, because a lot of people say, well, they went in and they rested from their journey in the wilderness. Well, you could say they kind of did, but there was another rest. God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. Now you're going like, Pastor Mike, what does all this have to do with me? Why does Joshua not receiving that rest, and why does this rest that God talks about, him resting from his works on day seven, what does it have to do with me? Because I believe us in this day as Christians live lives much more chaotic and dissatisfied than I believe God wants us to have. Jesus is very clear in John 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, what? That you might have life, you might have it more, what? Abundantly. I think God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants us to live an abundant life. And I don't think abundant life is us always worrying about every single day, not casting our cares on him, not realizing that we have someone that has given us rest. Even before we rest in the ground, we have a place of rest now in this day. So as I was driving and I was thinking, you know, of this physical rest, oh, I'm going to rest tonight, you know, and the big heavy stuff is done. And, you know, it's almost like a relief. But that's still not what we get in God. We don't get just a relief from physical labor. We get a release and a relief from our own labors to try to satisfy God, to try to please God with our own efforts. We get a release from that. We get a rest from that. We get to receive the grace of God, which is God's riches at Christ's expense, which is his supernatural empowerment to live a life of faith. Amen? Amen. All right. It says in verse 9, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. So there's a special rest waiting for the people of God. Wasn't a rest that was just you know, waiting for the New Testament church. There's also a rest waiting, I believe, for us. And again, I believe that ultimately the true rest we get. Do you think you'll be pretty rested when you get to heaven? I don't think we're going to be like angels playing, you know, harps on clouds, you know, and, you know, and, you know, in our little tutus or whatever they show that they on those drawings. I think we're going to have things that we do, but we'll be in the ultimate rest, who is Jesus. And hopefully I'll be able to show that to you. Verse 10, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So this is talking present tense, for all who have entered. But if you've entered something, does that mean you're going to enter it? If I've entered this building right now, does it mean I'm standing outside waiting to enter it? No, it means it's something I've entered into now. Or I can enter. I could be standing outside from this building and still in the cold when I could come into this warm building and enjoy it. This is how God's rest works. Either we can enter into it or we can stand outside and go, I'm miserable. Well, you don't have to be standing outside miserable. The door is open. And who is the door? Jesus. And then if you want to turn it around, if you're in relationship with him and he's knocking at your door, open the door and let him in. Isn't it crazy when I was saying at first that we're meeting God in the heavenlies? That's what it says in Hebrews 12. You can turn, I'm not lying, about middle of the chapter. But then we're also saying, heaven, come down, spirit, come down. It's like there's this exchange that can take place. It's the great exchange. We exchange our burdens for what? His joy. We exchange our sicknesses for his health. It's a great exchange. We exchange our hearts saying, Lord, we're there with you, with his heart saying, I'm here with you. God's very trippy. But it's communicating that he's having relationship with us. So verse 11 says this, so let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Wow, that's pretty clear. We have an opportunity to enter this rest, but if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Now let's go to Jeremiah 6:16. Giving Eric a chance to catch up. He's doing his best. I don't want to steal his thunder. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. This was Jeremiah speaking to the children of Israel. I don't think they could have attained the full rest that you and I can receive. But the idea is to stop and look around. Take a moment. You know, don't just keep going on your path. Take a moment and say, Lord, give me direction. Give me guidance. Give me your wisdom. Help me walk in your ways. And when you do that, guess what's waiting for you? Rest for your souls. If we go back to Matthew 11, this is one of my favorite verses. I've preached this before, but I believe this is Jesus communicating the true thought of him being our rest. Keep in mind, we just read Jeremiah 6:16 where it said we can have rest for ourselves. Jesus says in verse 28 of 11, chapter 11, verse 28, then Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Ah! Now, wait a minute. Are you saying, Jesus, in your word in Hebrews, that there's a rest waiting for us? And now you're saying, before you even left, you were that rest? I'll give you rest? Again, rest is not laying down and taking a nap. Does anybody like to take naps? I'm not a big nap taker, but I can sit back in my chair, and especially after a Sunday where I've gotten up real early, all of a sudden Gay says, you were snoring for about a half hour, and I wake up and I'm strong, I'm ready to go. I believe God's rest keeps us strong and ready to go for him. I believe when we're in God's rest, that the yoke is easy, the burden is light, as we'll see. I believe that we're in God's rest. We have a supernatural empowerment, his grace, to do things that we normally couldn't do in our own power. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I think resting for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions is what I'm talking about here. A place where the world isn't crushing us. You know, when we were driving down the road to Knob Hill, and, you know, we're driving down the road on Friday night, and we're getting ready to go to Wendy's to get our no-bun burgers. And so we're coming up just right when you're getting to that place where Red Robin's at and Burger King is. So we're driving along, and, you know, we took Gay's clothes over, and we're ready to do our next thing. We're going to go do some more stuff. And so, you know, we had all this intention that, you know, we were going to do this stuff. Next thing you know, someone had stopped their car and was right in the middle of a busy street, waving somebody on. So this person was waved on. It's all clear, not thinking of us traveling down the road at 30, 35 miles an hour. All of a sudden, they pull out. And so I do evasive, and I speed up, and they clip the back end of us and spin us around. And, you know, it was hectic. But I have to tell you, and Gay was hurt. She went to the hospital. But even in all of that, would you say there was a rest? I mean, you know, at first, the guy said, do you have insurance? You know, that's always good to know. Do you have insurance? No, no insurance. Like, oh, no. So I'm thinking, okay, well, great. We got a non-insurance motorist that hit us, you know, and so that means it's going to be our insurance, you know. But, I mean, I wasn't like, my heart didn't like, my whole day wasn't ruined, even though it seemed like it was ruined. Gay said when we got hit. I mean, first thing out of my car. And believe it or not, we bought that car from an accident where a semi ran her and her sister off the road. And the insurance covered her injuries. And after we got it, we were able to buy the car. So that's like, she's like, earned that car through being ran off the road by a semi. But what I'm trying to say is there was still a rest in us. Why? Was it because we conjured something up in the moment? No. It's because, you know what? Jesus lives in us. He lives in us. And he lives in you. And so, even though we go through difficulties of life, and granted, there are worse difficulties that other people go through. I'm not saying that we hit the epitome of it. But it was a moment when we could have just, like, come away and just felt miserable the whole night. Yeah, we were both shook up. I'm not, you know, I was kind of ache and sore, you know, but there was a rest. There was a peace in the storm. I mean, we have to repair our car and all of that, but it's not captivating my thoughts. The whole move, you know, is crazy. And, you know, and I have to tell you, I was thinking during worship, my head came back to, oh, I have not called our insurance company yet. I got to call him in the morning. So it doesn't mean that I don't think about those things. And God's not like, oh, you turkey. here you are in worship, and now you're thinking about, you have to call the insurance. No, God knows who I am. He knows who we are. We don't have to labor to try to please God. That's what it's saying here, family. We have a Savior who has saved us from our own works. He has saved us from having to save ourselves and to try to please God. Take my yoke upon you. It's His yoke. It's not our yoke. We're to take it upon us and let Him teach us, because He's humble and gentle at heart. And we will find rest for our souls. You will find rest for your soul. Not a ceasing of chaos, but a rest in the chaos. Amen? Amen. For my yoke, and you guys know what a yoke is. It's not, we're not talking about an egg yolk. I maybe should explain that. Like, some people are like, oh, like an egg yolk. No, this is a yolk that connected two oxen together. And this yolk made it so that when one was moving, the other one had to move. And so what we're saying is, Jesus, I allow you to hook me up to you in such a way that when you move, I move. When you stop, I stop. And if I'm going, He goes. There's a union that He's talking about here, a divine union. Yeah, praise God. It is so good. His word is so good. And speaking of His word, now we have the context for one of my favorite verses in the world, verse 12. Verse 12. Verse 12. Of chapter 11. Oh, yeah. No, of chapter 4. Sorry. Yes, I got to give Eric. We're back at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Someone watching online, is this guy schizophrenic? Does he not know where he is? For the word of God is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, notice he said for. Do you know what that for is? In grammar, it's called a conjunction. You could also say, almost say therefore. It's saying, because of what we've been talking about rest, therefore, the word of God is alive. Boy, I go back to the word of God a lot, don't I? No, he goes back to his word a lot. You know why? Because Jesus is the word. Jesus is alive in us. Keep in mind, when they said the word of God back then, they didn't have a Bible. Some people had scrolls. But it took him a while to get a Bible. Probably before he was when he was writing this, there was not like a Bible like you and I have. So the Word of God was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God was the Holy Spirit alive in them. See, I didn't go to Bible verses that night. Okay, all things work together for good to those who love God, and try to coax myself into not feeling the chaos of the moment. No, the word lived in me. Peace lived in me. And peace reigned my heart. It's nothing about me. I didn't achieve it. It was his abiding presence. This is the rest. This is the rest of the story. When Father said, when Jesus said to the Father, "It is finished." This is the end at the book. It's now what we're living in. We're living in the end. And it's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It's a place that when we're abiding in this, we should be attracting others, wondering what we have that they don't have. This is the thing that helps us realize our intentions and our thoughts of our heart. This is the thing that helps us realize the idea, what's my soul doing this and what's my spirit doing this? The word coming alive in us can transform and change us. It can make it so we're not conformed to the world. And then verse 13, Eric 11:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. 4:13. Yes, he got it. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So it's going back to what was happening in the wilderness with them. Then it's reminding us that we enter into a rest. Then it's letting us know that this rest is the living word. And now it's saying, guys, you can't fool God. You can't come to church and say, yes, the word lives in me, and then go live like the devil all week long. You're naked and exposed before him all the time. Bless his heart. All these naked and exposed people. No, he sees hearts. God looks at, man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. But we are exposed to him. He sees everything about us. And he's not, you know, going like, oh, I can't stand them. But we are accountable for what he sees. And he wants us to be all that we can be, to use a phrase for one of the sports deals. He wants us to be all that he has made us to be already. Remember, this rest, even though the rest has been ready since he made the world. Jesus, slain from the foundation of the world. This is his plan. His plan is not that you won't go to hell for your life. That's not his only plan. Yes, is that a byproduct of everything? His plan was so you could become a place of rest on this earth just like him. That when you talk to others that are going through a crisis, you can say, hey, I've been through a crisis just like you. I've been through a crisis similar. I can tell you, Jesus is a rest for your soul. Maybe you're reminding another Christian. The chaos doesn't have to win the battle. God wins the battle. The battle's already won. Sound the battle cry. The battle is already won, but the thing is that we have to live out the results of that victory. When we sing, Jesus is overcome, that's awesome. But now we have to live this life that declares, Jesus, you've overcome. So whatever comes my way, you've already overcome it. So I can walk through it. You know, and maybe sometimes you're just, all you're seeing is like water on each side. And it's like you're walking through the Red Sea. You see, you know, fish and everything. And you're going on dry ground and there's nothing touching you. And then other times you're going through a cross. You're going right through it. You're dying to yourself. But you know what? There's still a rest. You know, some people, and I don't know exactly how to describe it theological, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It sounds like there was nothing left in God, in Jesus, that was God. But that doesn't make sense. Because the Father would never leave his Son. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's 2 Corinthians 5:20 or something like that. God was in Christ, Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So I believe in a way the Father was also in this position of walking through this place. And yeah, it was physical turmoil. I may be theologically wrong, but I don't think there was still not a rest. Even in the garden where he says, oh, I'm sweating drops of blood, there was still a rest that Jesus had because he was in the Father. I'm telling you, that's what's waiting for us. A rest that the world can't describe. Jesus said to his disciples before he left in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. I don't give this peace to you like the world gives. This is not a fake peace. This is not a pacifying peace. The peace that I give to you is going to make it so your hearts don't have to be troubled or afraid. What's one of the fruit of the spirits? The peace of God. Other day I was praying for all different kinds of people. I was just saying, Lord, You be their peace. You are their peace, but let your peace become evident in them. Let it become alive. And I'll land the ship one more time. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Then jumping back to Matthew. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you. Come to what? Come to the living word. Come to that alive and active word. Those of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you. Let him teach you, because he's humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. But we have to believe it. We have to obey it. We're still under that same guideline. If we don't believe it and we don't follow it, then we're still in the results of our own life. And we're still in the clutches of our own decisions in life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, your word's alive. You are the living word. Lord, you abide in us, Lord. And because of that constant abiding, Lord, even in the place of chaos, we can have rest for our souls. We can still say, it is well with my soul. It is well. Lord, I thank you, God, that what the enemy desires for evil in all of our lives, Lord, you desire it to be turned into good. You change those desires of evil, Lord, and turn them into desires of good. That's because you are good. You're a good, good Father. You are love. And you love us with an everlasting love. So, Lord, I pray right now that each and every one of us would let the Holy Spirit inspect our hearts and find out if we're missing you in them. At least you as it pertains to us casting our cares on you. So many of us, for whatever reason, try to carry our own load. But Lord, you are the load bearer. You're begging us. You're imploring us. You're saying, cast them on me. Give them to me. You don't have to carry this on your own. And when you cast your cares, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to comfort you with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We receive, Lord, everything that you want to do in our lives by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love came down, rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I'm yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high, valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I'm yours, I am forever yours. Love came down. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high, valley low, I sing out, remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours, 'cause I am yours, I am yours, for all my days, Jesus, I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, for all my days, Jesus, I am yours. And love came down, and love came down and rescued me, love came down and set me free, I am yours, I am forever yours. soul that I am yours. I am forever yours.
Praise the Lord. Go find some rest. Go take rest with you for the rest of your week. Amen. Amen. Love you.